So just winning. I'm just giving persons another minute or two to sign in. Hi. Hi, Ramona.
I wanted to ask you something. I have another class starting. I had it before I started the training.
Mm-hmm.
So I will need to be with them at 7. Is that possible? Yeah.
That's fine. I don't think we'll be finished by 7, but that's fine if you have to go.
Yeah, but this is the last class, so I wanted to make
that's
sure.
Fine. That's fine. You can join your class.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Welcome, Colleen. Good evening. Just some housekeeping before we begin. I'm not sure if everybody's familiar with Zoom. So I would just encourage everybody to put themselves on mute while the session is going on. If you have a question, you can just either take yourself off of mute and you can ask me the question at any time during the presentation. Or there's also the chat feature. You can actually just type in the questions that you may have related to any questions related to the presentation I'm about to give on chapter 2 of the mandate. Or if you have another question outside of the mandate, that's fine as well. You can always, you know, ask your questions. So to minimize like the background, different background noises, and we just want to ask everyone to put themselves on mute. I will ask questions in between. And you guys can feel free to either take yourselves, show your video if you so desire, or you can keep your video off. That is your personal preference. So we're just going to open up with a prayer, and then we're going to go straight into it. Just a reminder, if you have a question, you can either put it in the chat feature, or you can take yourselves off of mute and feel free to ask any questions that you may have. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just glorify your magnificent name. God, for truly there is none like unto you. Father, bring this session before you, Father, Lord. I ask, oh God, that you would take full control. Father God, I present myself to you, Father, Lord. I ask, oh God, that you would, you know, equip me, oh God, to teach, Father, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you would touch my tongue even now, oh God. Father God, may I speak that which only you have commanded, Father. Father, Lord, may I, you know, explain and bring to light, Father, that which you desire, oh God, your daughters to hear, Father. Lord, I pray, oh God, for each and every one of us here, Father, Lord, that everything that is said, oh God, will be understood, Father. Lord, we just give you full control of this meeting in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 Amen. All right. So did everyone get the chapter for this week before we start? Just want to confirm that. You guys can take yourself. Yeah, everybody got it. There's also the reaction button. You guys can raise your hand and the button is like, can I use that one?
All right, I got it.
Okay, you didn't get it? Mm-hmm. All right, so that would aid me in how I am going to go through the slides. All right, so the person who didn't get it, could you just drop your name in the chat feature so I can follow up with it?
I just check and I got the one from last week, but I didn't get the one from this week.
Yeah, the one for this week. Okay, that's fine. So that would assist me. Annette, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi. Okay. right, you can just make note. I put it right. So just make note of the purpose who didn't have the. You didn't get the recording. So once you just make sure when you put in your name, Janine, I see you that you didn't get it. Thank you very much for posting that in the group chat. So I'll make a note of that. All right. So today we're going to let me share my. Annette, could you transfer the hosting capabilities to me? I need to share my screen, please. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So everyone can see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So as we see, the topic for is actually the Wailin Women's logo. So everyone can see that at the top we have right here. What does that look like for you guys? It's a bird. Thank you very much.
An eagle?
It's actually a dove.
A dove? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Getting some feedback. Somebody's television is actually in the background. Get that person themselves mute. Thank you. Right, so the next slide. So what we're going to talk about today is the logo, the colors. Right, so it's the logo, the colors, and the structure that we're going to look at today. And we see here, as everyone notes, the first part here is the dove. And as we know, the dove represents the Holy Spirit, it represents divine presence, and it also represents the power that directs the move of Wailin Women. As we all know, or may not know, Wailin Women is a move of God. And it's directed by God. So as we can see, you know, it shows a picture of the dove. As I said before, you know, the dove is hovering over the world. If you see right here in the background, the black graphics, that is the map of, we have Africa and the different continents at the back of the graphic. And as we can see, it's actually the world map. So it represents the fact that the move of Wailin Women is a global move. It's not contained to the Caribbean. It's not contained to Nigeria or Africa. It is a move that is global. And I think we are in over 100 nations at present. We have Wailin Women in Asia. We have Wailin Women in Europe. There are Wailin Women in Israel, in the different parts of the world. And we see in terms of the logo as well, it's also represented by the color purple. And we know that purple signifies royalty. You know, the Lord I think it's 1 Peter 2, where it says that we are his royal priesthood, a holy nation. So it's, you know, for us as Wailin Women, that is what our logo represents. You know, that is a move that is led by God as the Holy Spirit is hovering over the world, and that our reach is not just located to where we are in our different nations. It's not related to, you know, just your own country, because we demanded for us is to pray for the church, the family, and nations. So we pray for the whole entire world, not just our region, you know, as we would know. The next, and it, as I said, purple is signifies royalty. And it says so I just broke it down. We're going to look at the dove. As I said, the dove hovering over the nations, as we know that we can see the scripture, it relates back to Genesis 1:1-2, which says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So as the Spirit of God moves upon the face of the waters, God is also moving upon the face of the whole entire world, as we know that His Spirit moves upon the nations. And if I'm going too fast, anybody can just take yourself off of mute and just ask me to slow down if I'm going too fast in terms of these slight transitions. Feel free to do that. Right. So, and as we see, the dove also is a faithful bird. It represents also fidelity. You know, for a dove, the dove only has one mating partner for life. So that's also the representative of the dove hovering over. There's only one mating partner. So it represents the faithfulness of God. It represents the faithfulness of even for us as willing women, being faithful to this move. And the dove also represents peace. We know that the dove also represents peace. Right. So let me go back. So as it says, the flag for us is, it represents that no one is permitted to deviate from the original pattern of God. As we know, this is a move that God, He's the one who started it. He's the one who initiated the move. And He's the one who orchestrates it. He's the one who directs it. He's the one who supplies all of our needs and all of our resources. And, you know, it says only the blessed Holy Spirit has a mandate to drive this move and direct all the women are called to do in the nations. And that is the representation of the dove sitting over the world, which shows that, you know, as we travel, you know, as we go to different nations, we carry the Spirit of God within us and we carry the mandate of willing women as well. So we may know someone in another territory, another country or a nation. And as we go, you know, we're looking to see, you know, and tell persons about willing women, evangelize, tell persons about, you know, the move of God and what He's doing in your life. You know, it's not just, you know, as I said before, not just your personal location. It is a move that is fully a worldwide move. All right, so the next slide now is the flag. Unfortunately, at this point in time, I don't have a physical picture of the flag, but it's represented by three distinct colors, which is white, which signifies purity, and we have Psalms 15, 1-5, which I would read quickly. And then we have Psalms 24, 3-5, and Psalms 1, which all to purity as well. If someone has Psalms 15, 1-5, they can go ahead and read it for me. If not, I'll just pull it up on my device.
Oh Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved.
Thank you very much, Sharon. The next verse is Psalms 24. Just let me get that. If one seems to matter. Okay, Psalms 24, 3-5 says, who can ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who can stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. he shall receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And we see even in these scriptures, they're all speaking about purity. They're all speaking about, you know, the way how we are to relate to God, the way how we are to live our lives as willing women as well. And we know Psalms 1, which says, He that sitteth in the seat, shall not walk, let me pull it up, in terms of walking with the ungodly. Just give me 1 minute. Sorry about that. Somebody else was messaging me trying to get into the training as well. So I'm trying to multitask. Right, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall prosper. So we see that all of these scriptures relate back to purity. So. And that is what the law requires from us. You know, even as it's represented in the flag, it's also representation of what we are to, how we are to live and what we are to do as Israeli women. All right. So then now we have the purple, as I said before, because the purple is also in the logo under the bottom in terms of the Israeli women. We have the purple right here. We have the purple in the words, and also the bird is also in the color purple, which also, as we know, represents purity, royalty, and the gold in the flag, it signifies excellence. I haven't gotten the logo as yet, so when I get it, I will share it with you guys as well on Thursday. All right, so we have examples of persons who kept a pattern of God, and this is because, as it relates to the move of willing women, as I said before, it is a move that was started by God. It is, you know, he is the commander of the army of willing women. And we see there are different examples of persons that the Lord would have given a mandate to. You know, we have last week, June would have gone through, you know, what is a mandate with you guys. And we see here that there are different persons that would have given, you know, a mandate to. And it says that, you know, that we are, you know, the message in the logo is that no one is permitted to deviate from the original pattern that God the Father has set for us. And we see here that these are the persons who would not have deviated from the pattern that God has given to them. We see in Noah's time, in building the ark, the Lord gave Noah specific instructions on, you know, how to build the ark. And we see, as referenced in Genesis 6:11-16, I won't go through these examples, but you can always reference them for your own purposes. And we have Moses. You know, when the Lord came to Moses, the Lord would have told Moses, you know, to go to Pharaoh, and he told him exactly what to say. You know, he said to tell Pharaoh to let his people come up to the mountain and to worship him, and to you know, that they may offer sacrifices before him. And so, So these are persons, these are examples that we have of persons who would have, you know, the Lord would have given an instruction to, where we see that they did not deviate from the pattern. And, you know, we have Joshua, we have Solomon when he built the temple. We have Gideon, who also We also have Gideon, who God would have given instructions to when he told him to go and tear down the altars of the false god. We also have Gideon as well. And okay, so all right, so I think everybody is in the meeting now. All right, so we also have Joshua, and as I said, we have Gideon, and then the reason why you put Saul, because Saul, the Lord would have told him, you know, in terms of he was the first judge of Israel. And the reason why you put Saul is because, and let's all turn to 1 Samuel 13:8-15, because as we know, Saul is the one person, well, there were other examples, but Saul, I chose Saul because Saul deviated from the pattern. He deviated from what the Lord instructed Israel to do, which is that only the Levites were the ones allocated or instructed to offer sacrifices in the temple. So let's all turn to 1 Samuel 13:8-15. Right, it says, and this is Saul. It says, then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offering here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? So straight off the bat, Samuel was not there, but he knew that Saul did something that he was not supposed to do. And he said, and Saul said, when I saw the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Mishmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandments of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. From now, the Lord will have established your kingdom over Israel, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be a commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. So we see here that that's an example of what happens when we don't follow the pattern of God. And in everything, especially really women, there is a set pattern of the way how things are done. And it's a pattern that is given by God. There are books that we have that were written, and it's called Words from the Father's Heart. And I encourage everyone to get copies of these books. And these are, you know, books where that the mothers would have penned through their time when they're going to a 21-day fast, where they're just before the Lord, and the Lord is giving them different instructions and different words and different prophecies concerning the work. And you know, even as we get different communication from head office, the communication is not together and say that that's what they're going to do. The instructions are, you know, as from the Lord. Everything that comes from the office is through prayer. Just to seek God's heart concerning the word and what he desires of us, you know, for the work that we are doing. And I felt it good to highlight Samuel because Saul did not follow the pattern. He knew that he was not supposed to offer a sacrifice, but he decided that that's what he was going to do. And he deviated from the pattern. And when we deviate from the pattern, it has consequences. Right. So the next, okay, just need to switch this back. Good. Right. And it says, so you might think or ask yourself, so who is, yes, we have different leaders in our different nations, but the ultimate leader of the move of Wailing Women is God. And I called him the commander, because as Ilara said, that we are an army. So the head of the army, it might be the, you might have, they have the commander. I know the Navy would have a different term for what they will call their commander as well. But the Lord himself, he is the commander over Wailing Women. He's the apex leader. He's the owner. He's the sole provider of the resources, which means that when we have different things to do concerning Wailing Women's work, the Lord is the person who provides the resources. And he's also the benefactor of all that we do. You know, he's the one that takes all the glory and all the honor for whatever assignment he has commissioned us to do. And that, you know, he's the one who gets the glory. You know, it can be so easy, you know, in this move, especially as intercessors, you know, we know that we pray and we ask God for so many different things. And when we see, you know, God moving, we get so excited, you know, and sometimes, you know, it's so easy for us to say, well, you know, it's so easy to say, well, you know, it's because they prayed, you know, so, you know, pride can step in, you know, it's so easy for us to get to that point. But we know that at the end of the day, it's the Lord's will that was done. It's his will. You know, he's the one that will get the glory for whatever happens in Wailing Women. And according to Hebrews 3:13 says, as I have it on the slide, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So as I said, we follow pattern, but we also must give an account of the work of Wailing Women. We must give an account of our actions. We must give an account of the assignments the Lord has given to us that we have not completed, or, you know, things that he would have said to us that, you know, we did not do, we may have delayed. So that's offer for us, you know, in terms of Wailing Women, that, you know, that whatever the Lord instructs us to do, that we must ensure that it is completed, because at the end of the day, we have to give an account of the work that he has entrusted into our hands. Because, you know, as we all know that the move of the Wailing Women, the Lord can call anybody to this move, but, you know, he has handpicked each and every one of us, you know, not based on how well we can pray. It's not based on if we're the greatest intercessor. Because me personally, when I started with Wailing Women, I was a very young baby Christian, and it was not the most skillful prayer. But that Lord doesn't look at that. He's not interested in how well you can pray or not. But all the Lord requires from us is obedience and, you know, a heart that is humble before him and willing to do his work. So, you know, even in that, as we say, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of God. You know, there's nothing that we do that the Lord doesn't see, you know. And this move is, you know, is one where we have to be very deliberate about it and intentional about it. All right. So we're going to look a little bit at the structure and the pattern of the work. So for this area here, we have, it says, the Lord our God has called Wailing Women all over the world to work in compact and united teams. At the head of the organization, we have the 12 international coordinators. Those are the who we term the mothers, and they reside in Nigeria. Then we have continental leaders, sub-regional leaders, national leaders, state, city, and then local government levels. So as we're looking at this, you know, we see it's like a hierarchy. You know, in business, they talk about, you know, or in an organization, you have a hierarchy. You have the CEO, the deputy CEO, the you know, you may have the different managers. Then you have you may have supervisors or assistant managers. And then you go down the line. The limit operates in that same structure. You know, it's close to like a business, you know. So you have a structure. So this is the structure that is in place. So one person reports to the next person, and it goes up into the different levels. And your national leader report to the regional leader, and it goes up like that. But this structure here, we have continental leaders, but we don't have state or city leaders, because based on how the Caribbean is structured, I know different islands may have parishes, they might have I'm not sure besides parachutes. I only know parachutes in Barbados. But you know, they have different, you know, your island is divided into different sections. It might be a state, it might be a city. You know, I'm not sure how the others are broken, but in Barbados, we have parachutes. So for us, I put the structure of the word and aim for Wally Women Caribbean, because we don't have states, because USA has states. I think Africa also has states as well, because they are broken into different sub-regions and different states they have. Because you have, in Nigeria, you have Abia state, and you have the, and even Nigeria itself is broken down into different states as well. So that's why I decided to put to show what the Caribbean looks like. So we have, in your nations, you may have chapter coordinators who report to your national coordinator, who will report to the regional coordinator. Actually, sorry, that's what has actually changed. Right, the regional coordinator. So I actually missed, sub-regional should be flipped around, these two right here. The sub-regional should be down here, and regional should be up there. So we have the sub-regional and then regional. So the regional leader, as you all know, is Reverend Ruth. And then we have the continental leader, which is Sister Uche from Canada. And we also have Mama Ebele, who resides in the USA. And then they also to report to of international coordinators. And as you know, the Caribbean region has been broken up into, we have different national leaders who are also in charge of different subgroups of the Caribbean. Is everyone good, or am I going too fast? Any questions? I'm just going to pause here for a few moments to see if anybody had any questions.
Nicole, could you please repeat the structure for the Caribbean again?
Sure.
This is something we'll switch around. Repeat that, please.
Well, that's fine. You're welcome. Right. So for the Caribbean, it is... Oh, sorry, my system seems... Right, so it's the chapter coordinators, the national coordinators. Then you have the sub-regional coordinators, and then the regional coordinator. Then continental, then the 12 international coordinators. Is Claire?
Yes, please.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you. All right, so let's continue on. Right. So, we all know Wailing Women. We have... All right. So, for Wailing Women, the move of Wailing Women, as we know, the Lord has called us... Excuse me, ladies. The Lord has called this move to be a global army. So, before we look at, you know, the move of Wailing Women being a global army, we're going to look to what Wailing Women is not, you know. And the slide is called Not a Social Club. You know, we have different, we're all members of different churches, and you might be affiliated, you might be, you know, part of a dance group, or, you know, some type of social group, or you know, other social committee or membership or whatever. But for Wailing Women, it is not meant to be a social club. Don't get me wrong. That does not mean that there's not unity within the group. That does not negate that there's not, you know, camaraderie and genuine love and care for the other members of Wailing Women. But the structure is not one where, you know, as you guys meet together, you sit around and, you know, you talk, you drink, you laugh, eat food, drink. That is not that type of, our meetings are not that type of meetings. There are times and seasons and places where that will be done, but it's the exception and not the norm. You know, it's not a social club. You know, social clubs are a place, like, say for instance, like you might have a golf, you know, you might be a part of the golf club, or, you know, if you're an avid golfer. So, you know, you're going, you might meet a couple friends, you know, you relax, you chat, and, you know, persons identify with these different types of clubs, you know, and it's a part of their identity, so to speak. But for us, is we identify with Wailing Women, but not on in regards to the social aspect, but more spiritual aspect of it as well. It says, you're not raising a women's forum. you know, it's an army. I cannot stress it enough. This is an army. I mean, yes, we work together, but it is not, you know, how we see other women's groups going or how we see other, you know, other social groups that we have in our churches. The structure of those is really women is different to that structure. We are not saying that there's anything wrong with, you know, the structure that you have at church, but the move of Willing Women is just a different structure. It says that no one who has been enlisted to be a soldier entangles himself with civilian affairs and attitudes. So we see at the beginning the move of Willing Women and the way how the law has structured it, and that we have to give an account. You know, in a social club, you don't have to give an account. In a social group, you don't have to worry about if there's unity. You know, you could come in a meeting and might not even like to speak to your sister next to you. But for Willing Women, we can't do that. Unity is our strength. So the things that are acceptable or you know, that can kind of slide, you know, in a different setting, these are things that, you know, that are not acceptable, or they can't even work in Willing Women. And I can give an example, you know, like if there's an issue in the meetings, you know, before you can even pray, you have to deal with that. You have to deal with the issues, you know, because we can't go past one and say we're interceding for the church, the family, and the nations, and then there's this unity within us. So, but you know, in a social group or a social club, you can be in the setting with somebody, you might not even be speaking to that person, but the group still functions. Whether you are speaking to this person in that spirit, it doesn't affect the so much so the dynamics of the group. But within Willing Women, it is paramount. And it says it's not for idlers. So Willing Women is not, you know, some place where you can just come and sit down and, you know, you're just relaxing. You know, Willing Women, you need to get involved. The Lord commands each and every one of us, we are to get involved. So it's not a place where you can just come and, you know, sit down at the edges or on the fray and everybody else, you know, working or doing, you know, it calls for everybody to be, you know, hands on, for everybody to be together. Because as I said before, unity is our strength. We have to be united. Everybody has to be running in their lane. Everybody has to be doing their part. And it's definitely not a place for gossip. One thing, we don't gossip. No way, no home, no fashion. If you have an issue with your brother or sister, we all know the word tells us, you go to them. But it's not a place for gossip. Gossip is like, these things are things that the enemy can use against us to discredit us before God, to accuse us of. And we know as intercessors, we have to make sure that we are pure and holy before the Lord in order to come before him to pray. We can't intercede for the church, the family, and the nations if we ourselves are not in the right place. And it's, as the last point says, it's not a habitation for lazy ones. It's not, it really isn't. There's so much work that needs to be done. I mean, the Lord could, you know, wake you up at 3 o'clock to pray for a particular situation. He could wake you up at 4 or 2. You know, the Lord doesn't have, you know, it's not like, oh, it's your sleep time. You know, it's like, no, sometimes the Lord will wake you up at different times to intercede on behalf of somebody he may place on your heart. Or it might be a situation that you might read in the paper and it's not something to pray about. Let me send that to the leader so, you know, she could pray about it, or we could deal with that at the meeting. No, you're a willing woman. If the Lord brings it to your attention, you pray the same time. Yes, you can also take it back to your group, but it's all for everyone to, you know, put their hands to the plow and let's all work together. Right. So, the work of Willing Women. As I said before, it is a global army. And before I go into the slide, this is one thing when you guys read for those who would have gotten a chance to go through the chapter, it says, while praying during one of our month-end retreats, and this is the mothers, the Lord was speaking to them, he says, the Spirit of the Lord said to us, I am not raising a women's forum or women's meeting, I am raising an army. There may be many women's groups, but I still want militia in nations. That's like the military. He said, what's the military in nations? Any that does not fit in should decamp. So I will say that again. Anyone that does not fit in should decamp. That means if you know this work is not for you, decamp. That means just take yourselves out. But we are all here, so nobody's leaving, right? Amen. So he says, I say it again. Really, women worldwide is an army. It is only those who qualify to be soldiers that are enlisted. Those who get crashed will be spotted out by their character and attitude towards the work. No one who has been enlisted to be a soldier entangles himself with civilian affairs and attitude. He lives to please God that sent him. Some are playing a double game. They are here and they are there. I make it clear, I am raising an army. There are places for civilians and they can fit into civilian camp. I don't condemn it for being civilians, but I am raising an army and there are qualifications for being in an army. So as we see here, as I said, the move of really women, it is an army. And, you know, he says that only those who qualify to be soldiers are those who are enlisted. And for us, as I said, for the move, that's the reason why the Lord says it's not a social club. Because if we look at an army in its natural state, you know, let me go down to this slide here. If you look at an army in its natural state, to enlist in an army, you need to, there's only two requirements. To make the basic qualifications, which is it might be education, like English, math, you know, basic, you know, academic qualifications. And then you have to go through the boot camp training and then you have to pass. That is in terms of the natural army. I mean, also seeing an army that it's not a social club. It's a place where persons come to train and they go in battle. And as we know, each person, they operate as a platoon. They operate as one. You know, they always say, leave no man behind. And that's how we are in Wheelie Women as well. We leave no man behind. We look out for our brother. We have each other's back, just as in the army, you know, persons look out for the man next to them, you know, in terms of, you know, just shooting at other people. They look out for the guy next to them, you know. And we see even in, as we see in movies, if one person is shot, they normally carry that soldier on somebody else's back. That is how Wheelie Women is. So, you know, when it says it's not a social club, it's not meant to be a negative thing. It's that the Lord wants us to switch our focus from being on the traditional church groups and social groups to more a army military mindset, you know, because we are in training. So let's go back to here. And, you know, it says that only those who qualify to be soldiers will be enlisting. And for us, we need to live lives that please God. You know, if the Lord is going to use us to intercede, you know, the Lord, this move is where the Lord speaks and he gives his daughters instruction. So in order for the Lord to give us instructions, we need to be living lives that please God. We need to be trained, loyal, committed, and determined troops in a united army. So as we all are doing here, we're going through the training. Believing it calls for loyalty and it calls for commitment and it calls for determination. The work, you know, is not always nice and fluffy. Sometimes we have to get into the trenches. It may call for us to have an all-night prayer vigil, you know, and these are things that our natural bodies are not accustomed to. For some of us, we are not accustomed to, you know, going through the whole night praying. But that's why the Lord calls it an army. It needs training. You have to go through training. You have to go through the basic boot camp. So the Lord is fashioning us so that when he says to move, we don't question and say, you sure? If you look at an army, then the commander or the lieutenant or the sergeant gives a command, turn left, turn right, stand up, sit down. Everybody moves at the same time. They all move as one. There is nobody says, Sarge, you sure? You know, it moves like that. So for us, we know that the Lord speaks to different persons and he also speaks to our leaders. So the Lord gives them instructions and then it filters down to us. And it says that we need to have discipline and the right mindset. You know, we need to be women who are disciplined in our, even in our time, we need to be disciplined there. Excuse me. We need to be disciplined in, you know, how we go about our days, how we prioritize, you know, different things we need to be, you know, the Lord is calling up for us to be disciplined in. And we also need to have the right mindset. And the right mindset is that this work is not, you know, is you weren't called to this work by your chapter leader or your national leader. You were called to this work by the Lord. Only the Lord calls persons for this work, because as we said before, it is not an ordinary work. It's not like any other group that you would ever been in. And it also calls for us to unlearn some things that we would have learned through being churched in terms of how we relate to God. And, you know, the Lord speaks to us and gives us instructions that may seem a little weird and strange, but the Lord, if we see throughout the scriptures, the Lord has given so many people prophetic words and asked them to carry out so many prophetic actions. And that's what the Lord needs us to do, you know, to just trust him and move at his command. And it needs to mean who are seriously minded and that we will fight to the end. You know, women that will pray until we see things happen in our nations, women who will pray to see things change, you know, that we won't relent, you know, we will continue to pressing until we see change in our nation. And that's why the Lord says, you know, it's a global army. The Lord may require us to pray for, there was a season here in Barbados when we were praying for the USA elections. Are we U.S. citizens? No, we're not. We just visit. We might be passing through. But there was a time when the Lord instructed us to pray for the USA elections. And we, you know, we were pressing in and praying for the USA elections. The Lord may ask us to pray for elections in another country, or, you know, we might see war in Israel. You know, the Lord commands each and every willing women to pray for Israel. So it is global. And as I said before, we fight to the end. It says here, the journey is becoming tougher, as we know. Footballers pray for a selection, and they go through the quarterfinals, the semifinals, and the finals. Prizes are given at the final leg, not at the quarterfinals or semifinal level, and everyone shall fight to the end. So the Lord is saying, even in this world, you know, don't give up. You know, you don't get the prize at the beginning. You don't get the prize as a footballer. You don't get the prize when you go to the quarterfinals or semifinals. You get the prize at the end. So we must fight to the end to ensure that what the Lord desires to see in the nations happen, that we ensure and that we pray and that we intercede to align heaven and earth to his will for the nations. Right. So we get to the point. So what happens to us when we come to Baylor Women? It's a place where men are formed, you know, in terms of a place where men are formed, I'm going to mention some topics here, especially in the manual for volume one, you know, and there's a chapter on brokenness. And the Lord is, you know, when they first read the chapter, like what is brokenness? What is the Lord talking about when he says brokenness? But it's the scripture says that except a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces much seed. And that's what the Lord requires us. You know, being a willing woman takes us to a deeper level into the things of God because of what we have to do in terms of interceding. Because from the time we decide that we're going to attack the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of darkness looking at us, is because them spotting at me and we spotting at them. So for us, we need to, you know, go through the refining process. We need to go through, you know, just like allowing the Lord to mold us and shape us. And that's what the Lord is talking about. That's why I say it's a place where men are formed. It's a place where, you know, based on the teachings we receive, you know, we go deeper into scriptures. You see the different, when the Lord talks about taking over the seven spheres of influence, you know, when he talks about taking over the mountain of education, you know, he's requiring us to do so much more. And for us, in order for these things to happen and for these things to be accomplished, we need to be broken before the Lord. We need to allow the Lord to examine us, you know, the prophetic word that came out, you know, the Lord says, you know, allow to let him examine us and to, you know, to remove the things within us that are hindering us from running faster. You know, it's a place where we recognize who we are and we utilize our potential. You know, we utilize, you know, the different weapons that the Lord has ordained for us. You know, it, you know, we utilize, you know, the different, you know, the different things that the Lord has said that he has given to his children. You know, he says we have the power to heal. We have the power to do so many different things. We have the power to tear down the kingdoms of darkness. We have the power to, you know, I can't remember the scripture. It says, with you, I will break down the horse and the rider. And with you, you know, we are called the battle axes of the Lord. And, you know, it says that with you, I will tear down this. With you, I will destroy this. With you, I will pull down this. And that's what we are called to do. We are called to pull down the kingdoms. You know, we are basically destroyers of the kingdom of darkness. And this is what Wailing Women is for us. This is what happens to us once you join Wailing Women. There's nobody has joined Wailing Women, even some who are on this call who can say, or who can't say that they have not, you know, totally changed since joining Wailing Women. Even for me personally, you know, there's so many different things, you know, that the Lord shows you, even in terms of even going deeper in humility. You might think you're the most humble person, and then being in this word, the Lord's like, no, you gotta go to a different level, you know. You know, the Lord calls us to, you know, to even deal with things in the past, you know, and resolve issues. You know, the Lord, he does so many things, you know, once you're being in his word. It's like he just molds and refines you and refines you and refines you until you are who he wants you to be. And Wailing Women is a place of service where men pledge their allegiance to the Lord Most High. And that is so significant because, you know, in order for us to pledge allegiance to the Lord, we have to recognize and we have to align ourselves with God. And we know that God is holy. He is righteous. You know, he is the commander in chief of the world. And, you know, for us, we need the Lord to, you know, he has to be in charge. Because if he isn't, then we are just doing our own thing. It's a place where people recognize who they are and maximize their potential for the advancement of the kingdom of God. And, you know, we can see that in the way how we operate, in the way how we move. You know, there are some scriptures that, you know, if not for being a Wailing Women, you may not have even come across in terms of the Lord saying that we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, you know. There are so many different other scriptures, you know, and one thing I will emphasize here is the regional conference. When we go to the conferences, when we take part in, you know, the conferences, we get to interact with the mothers. So we get to get, you know, a more broader perspective on the move of Wailing Women. The teachers are so impactful, you know. Right, we're just getting some feedback. Right, you know, the teachings are so impactful. And, you know, it's like they're not teachings that you would normally get at church. You know, is just a whole different perspective, a whole different, you know, way of viewing the scriptures. And, you know, it's just so powerful and so impactful. That's the honest truth. Every conference, you come away with something different. Every conference, you know, you grow spiritually, you know, and then there's so much camaraderie amongst, you know, the women from different islands, different nations, you know, and you really see what is the true meaning of women and being in unity. And as I said before, it's a place for seriously minded believers. Right. So, as I said before, for enlisting in a regular army, there's only two qualifications, basically, is that you have to go into boot camp and then, well, sorry, you have to meet the basic qualification, which is mostly academic, and then you go into boot camp. And, you know, that is basically the qualifications for the regular army. But for God's army, there's so many different qualifications for the Lord's army. And now, before I move on, you know, it says Wailing Women should move from the normal and old patterns of thinking and doing things and embrace the new. That's what I said before, you know, in terms of how Wailing Women operates, you know, as we get the teachings, as we go to conferences and get more knowledge and the different teachings that comes out, you know, is not the same as what you might get at church or how you might You know, it's not the same way of viewing things, the same way of operating. You know, it's not the normal. You have to have that unhindered, for lack of a better word, obedience to God. Because when the Lord tells you to go and do this particular action or prophetic action, somebody else might think that that's the weirdest thing they have ever heard to do. Holy Lord, can say to do that. But that's not what the law requires. The law requires obedience. And if he says to go, we have to be in a place and a position to go. He said there's a dimension of operating. There's a dimension of operation God is bringing. It's a new dimension. It is coming with new strategies and restructuring. The Lord says he's bringing a new dimension of operation. And for us, if the Lord is bringing a new dimension, it's also requiring to operate differently as well. So if the Lord is giving us new strategies, you know, we have to be in a place where the Lord is able to mold us and teach us to carry the new strategies that he's doing. He says he's bringing us into new dimensions of operation, new strategies and reorientation. So he says if you go into a fashion and routine, it'll be like other things. For people has given a time limit. They say, let's watch them and see if they will not fizzle out. And that's talking about the move of willing women. You know, some people might see you join this move and think, oh, it's only for a time. But no, this is an army. The army go throughout. We finish. We run the race straight to the end. And Lord says, if you maintain focus, he is the one that goes before the plans. He will orchestrate things by himself. And, you know, he said that Billy women belong to him. You know, it is his work. So let me go into enlisting in God's army. So we see there are different qualifications. But different qualities that we need to possess. And the first thing out is salvation. The Lord just requires everybody to know that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you know, you will be saved. But it goes beyond just salvation. It goes to obedience. And this work seriously requires obedience. You know, the mothers can give you examples where, you know, the Lord would have told them to do different things. And this is earlier when the group was now formed. And you know, they didn't do it. And then there was like grave consequences because they did not do what the Lord had required them to do. I'm not sure if it was maybe a riot or something happened. I can't remember. But, you know, the Lord requires obedience. They can share stories about even a simple thing as being on time for meetings. You know, the Lord locked out some of them out of meetings when they're late for meetings. So as we know, an army, you have to be to time. That's why the Lord's army is different. It requires being on time for meetings. It requires, you know, having that regimented way of thinking that if you set an appointment with the Lord is there, you have to be there. And, you know, the mothers would have gone through that process with the Lord in terms of being on time, you know, and you know, the Lord requires us also to be righteous and holy before him. The Lord requires purity. He requires humility. He retires, you know, people that are people of the closet. And people out of the closet is people who, you know, draw away from the world and just spend that quality time with the Lord. It could be in your bedroom. It could be in the bathroom. Sometimes I do my best thinking in the bathroom. It could be, you know, just that time you set aside to just spend time with the Lord, commune with him, hear what he's saying. And, you know, we have to be forgiving. And that is a big thing. You know, we cannot, you know, the Bible tells you that if you have aught with your brother, go and reconcile them before you come and give your sacrifice. You know, that's why this is one of the requirements in terms of forgiving. We cannot say that we are a willing woman or doing the Lord's work and interceding, and then we are holding unforgiveness in our hearts. Our prayers will not go nowhere. You know, we are required to walk in love, you know, to bear fruit spiritually and physically. And, you know, being fruitful spiritually is not like the teachings that you receive, you know, the way how the Lord wants us to carry ourselves. And that's why the training manuals are so important, because that's the blueprint of how the law requires willing women to be. The mandate itself is our blueprint of how the law requires willing women to be, you know. And even as these sessions are finished, and I know we're trying to organize getting the books, but I encourage everybody to make sure you have a copy of your book, because it's a good reference tool as well. I mean, we might get a teaching today and, you know, we sometimes might need to pick back up the book and go back over, you know, the things that the Lord requires us and how he requires us to operate. You know, we need to avoid strife, avoid pride and arrogance, soberness and being transparent. We eschew anger. Anger has no place in willing women. We use our tongue wisely. We dress moderately and decently. And the last point is that we release our temperaments and emotions to the control of the Holy Spirit. And that is a big thing for many of us in terms of allowing the Lord to take over our emotions. You know, we can get, some of us, you know, we might be struggling with, you know, we might get offended easily. And, you know, our emotions, you know, our emotions can override what the word says. It can override, you know, what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And that's why I referenced the chapter in the manual, which you guys will go through. When we started to go through the manual, the chapter on brokenness, you know, and, you know, just the way how the Lord deals with us. And then there's another chapter of dealing with the manifestations of self, you know, and that was a really powerful chapter, which it speaks about, you know, just the way how we think, the way how we respond to situations. You know, the Lord really calls us to truly examine ourselves. And it goes back to, as I said before, it's also linked to the prophetic word for this year. And, you know, this is the structure. These are the things that the Lord requires that you know, that we should possess, you know, to be as a, you know, as his soldiers. And, you know, we see in, as I said, for the natural army, they have to pass boot camp. And for us, our boot camp is going through the teachings, going through the mandate, going through the manual, you know, getting the teachings and knowing how the Lord requires us to operate in his army. So the Lord requires us to operate, you know, as one in his army, as women who, you know, who are humble, who are pure before him, who are righteous. You know, as I said at the beginning, the dove represents the Holy Spirit who is hovering over the nations. And we know that if the Lord is holy, we too are holy because of his strength. And we need to work, and we're working in partnership with him. So one person can't be holy and next person is not. Is the partnership will fail. So that's where the Lord requires us to be holy. All right. Any questions? You guys can just take yourselves off of mute. I'm just going to pause here for a minute. Because I'm sharing my screen, I'm not able to see what is typed in the chat. By the way, address it when I stop sharing my screen. Any questions, comments, or queries?
Sabrina Skinner, Nassau, Bahamas. Just one comment, Nicole.
Hi.
When you were sharing the psalm, I just wanted to bring it to your attention at the last line. You said, but the way of the wicked shall prosper, and it shall be it is that they shall perish.
Thank you very much. I didn't realize they said that. Thank you so much. And that was Psalms 24 that you're referencing? Or Psalms 1? Yeah,
Psalms 1.
Yes, it's for the Lord.
Yeah.
The last one. Yes, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Thank you so much, Sabrina. So thank you for the correction, and so let the word of God be established. Thank you. Before I go on to the next slide, I'm just going to share, as I said before, I know some persons may have joined after we have started. I think there are actually maybe there are two more slides. So we have the, as it is going back to the structure, the Lord is, you know, commanding us to follow the pattern, to follow the structure that he has put in place, because he started it in Nigeria. He could have started it any other way in the world, but he chose Nigeria to start the work. And he says, you know, to know the strengths and weaknesses of his people in the past, to know the way forward. And he's calling women to be like a flow of the river. You know, we are not to be stagnant. We are to always constantly, you know, moving and changing. And as we are moving and changing, means spiritually growing, you know, spiritually, you know, seeking his face and working with him and doing what the Lord requires us to do. It says, it shall not be said of things past, but of things present. God wants to take us to higher heights. And when I heard that, I was like, this book was written in 2014. And we have here in the prophetic word, the Lord says, and this is the prophetic word for this year. The Lord says, wailing women were raised to a triple height. I have raised wailing women to a triple height. I want to run with wailing women at high speed. And says, to attain the speed and height, remove every weight that can be a clog in the wheel of progress and tighten your seatbelts so that you will take off effectively and go as far as you are supposed to go. I will strengthen every arm of wailing women. So we see that what the Lord said since, well, this copyright actually was first published in 2011. And this one was copyrighted in 2014. So we see here that the Lord is requiring us to run. He's requiring more of us. He's requiring us to do so much more, you know, in terms of this work. You know, there are many assignments he wants to give his daughters. He wants to speak to us more. He wants to, you know, commune with us more, even in this season. You know, we have COVID-19 that is happening. And the Lord is just, he just wants to spend more time with us. He wants to give us instructions. He wants to, you know, for us to just come away and to just be with him. You know, to be women of the closet. You know, as you know, we said here, this is what the Lord requires his army, you know, his soldiers in his army to be. And then we have here, we have the arms of the wailing women. And we have the wailing women, which is the mothers, which is us. Well, I'm still, well, technically young in my 30s, but in Nigeria, I'm a wailing daughter. But I'm in between wailing daughter, wailing woman. But it's okay. They call us both. They have done it for many years. But we have the wailing women, which we are. Then we have the wailing daughters and sons. Then we have the wailing widows. Then we have husbands aglow, or men aglow, as some persons call them, and we have the facilitators. And the wailing widows, for persons who may not know, these are women who may have lost their, who would have lost their husbands, but who live a pure life interceding for the nations. So we have wailing widows, and, you know, husband, at the point in time that this book was written, it actually does not have any husbands aglow. Husbands aglow were was later formed after this book was published in 2014. So, but now we have husbands aglow, and husbands aglow are the husbands of wailing women. Or it could be men can join. You don't necessarily have to be married to a wailing woman to be a part of it, but it is recommended, or, you know, it's encouraged that, you know, the family get involved. The wife and the husband, the children will be a part of wailing daughters and sons, because we are raising the next generation. And that is wailing daughters and sons. They are the replacement army for us. Wailing women, the mothers, they are the ones that will carry on the work. And facilitators, these are people who support the work with money, with their resources. You know, it could be a member of wailing women, or it could be somebody outside. It could be a church. It could be a business. It could just be a particular individual who recognizes and sees the significance of wailing women. And he says that they want to sow into the work. They may want to sow into to our conferences. They can sow into even the building of Refuge City. They can sow in even to your own little niche territories. They may provide assistance in terms of initiatives that you have with wailing daughters and sons. And these are just persons who facilitate the work of relating. You know, they give, it's not always money. It could be someone who is in a particular business area that they can link you with somebody else who has a particular resource that you may need. It could be somebody who works at the airlines. They could be a facilitator in terms of negotiating flights for us. You know, it's just any person who facilitates the work of Wailing Women. So it says, and all of these arms of Wailing Women, they work together. You know, Wailing Women are the ones who lead Wailing Daughters and Sons. There are the women who are part of the Wailing Widows, the husbands. So we see that even in the arms of Wailing Women, it's all linked back to the family. Because if you have the mother who's a Wailing Woman, the father, husband's a bull, and the children, Wailing Daughters and Sons, that is the family unit there. So it shows you that the Lord is interested in families, because at first it was Wailing Woman and the Wailing Daughters and Sons. It was actually Wailing Daughters, and the sons got added, and then husbands a bull, because the Lord recognized that the men were you know, they were supporting the wives. They were, you know, encouraging them and facilitating and just helping them. And the Lord recognized that, and he gave them, you know, he created an arm called husband support. It says that every arm fits into the overall structure of the work, and no arm is completely detached from the rest. So the Lord, as the Lord has covered the whole entire family, he's also taking care of the widows as well, because as we know, God is our husband. So he will also take care of the Wailing Widows as well. It says this move is about God, the trainer, who has called ordinary women from all walks of life and turned us into agents of transformation. You know, we are all called to be Wailing Women. So in order for all of these different arms to work, in order for us to really, you know, relate and, you know, not really recognize, but to really, you know, be a part of and align ourselves with the move of Wailing Women, there's something that is funding that undergirds all of that, and that is unity. This work depends on unity. And we see in Psalms 133, 1 to 3, it says, Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garment. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore. And that is the you know, that's what undergirds Wailing Women. As I said before, unity, it is our strength. We see, even if we don't look at it in terms of Wailing Women, we can look at it in terms of places we work. You know, we might be in a company, we know if the department ain't together, the department ain't functioning. If persons are not working together, the project is not going to be complete. Even if, you know, you might be in the kitchen, simple thing, you might be in kitchen cooking. If one body doing their own thing and you baking something else, you know, the dishes might not come out. If we all doing the same dish and one body want to do one thing and this person want to do their own thing, then it would not work. Is this even for the army, natural army, the soldiers move together. They move as one. One part is, if they're saying that they're going left, everybody goes left. If they're going right, everybody goes right. There's no deviation. There's no separation in a natural army. And that is what the Lord requires us as Wailing Women to be in an army. Because, you know, for this move, you know, the Bible also talks about a three-strand cord is not broken. You know, yes, it persons, we relate it to marriage and you know, husband, wife, and the Lord. But in terms of unity, in terms of the move of the Wailing Women, we are going up together before the Lord to intercede on behalf of the church and the nations. We cannot go up together if we are divided. The Lord will not hear our prayers. Yes, he might still move because he is God, but we don't want there to be any division amongst the Wailing Women, you know, that would hinder our prayers. That you know, the enemy be there saying, but look, Todd, they know I'm going to speak to the one another. And why should, you know, like, we don't want to give the enemy any room or any leeway to accuse us of anything that will hinder our prayers from doing so. And also, we don't want to be like Saul. We don't want the Lord to give us the command. Saul was supposed to be, you know, judge over Israel. And then, you know, we deviate from what he says and do our own thing. And then here comes, you know, us being destroyed. Because Saul, after that was the end of Saul. You know, and that's what the work of willing women calls us to do, to be unified and to also to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and be obedient to God. Right. So this is actually the last slide for this chapter. Before we move on to that, I'm just going to read what the Lord said to the mothers. He says, in every nation, this should be the set pattern. God wants to emphasize teamwork, for unity is our speaking to the 12 international coordinators on the power of unity. The Lord said, my children, be united. It is your unity that will carry the next phase of work I am giving to you. I say to you, bond yourself for this work. The world is waiting for you. You cannot do it in your selfishness, but by your unity. I am about to do a good work to display you. This is the hour for your manifestation. I am tearing down the strongholds of the enemy. I am bringing down the high places. I will reinforce your unity, and there will be a larger output than that which you have seen in the past. Work done will receive a due recompense. Your unity is the unity of the church. Forget about your individual differences. Forget about who you are. Focus on the purpose of my calling upon you, for I have called you as one entity. My children, come together. And, you know, that's what the Lord requires of us. He requires of us to be unified. So, you know, that's why reference these chapters about any mandate about manifestation of self and being broken before the Lord. These are things that the Lord, in order for our unity to work, we need to lay aside ourselves. We need to forget who we are. We need to forget our individual differences and just focus on the work of the Lord that is at hand. Just let me go through. Right. And with that, this is what the Lord requires. It says, the Lord calls ordinary women from all walks of life and transforms us into agents of change. That's what the Lord calls us. He calls us agents of change. We are women that he can train to do great exploits in the nations. We are women who will produce dependable, passionate, charismatic, and fruitful leaders. Women who are visionary and transformational leaders who care for the people they lead. You know, I say God wants a large turnover in the investment that he has made in our lives. And that is what the Lord requires from us. So that brings us to the end of chapter 2, which spoke about the logo. I'm just going to recap the logo. As we have here, is a dove hovering over the nations, hovering over the world, and the dove represents the blessed Holy Spirit. It represents his divine presence and power that directs the work of the wailing women. And the world map represents that the move is a global move in scope. And as I said before, purple represents royalty. The dove also represents that, you know, God is faithful, and we too must be faithful to the work. And it also symbolizes peace. And, you know, this is what the Lord requires of us. The flag is white, purple and gold, which is Nephi's purity. And we have the verse scripture that talks about being pure before the Lord. You know, David wrote many psalms about Chris crying out to the Lord, asking the Lord to you know, to search his heart and to cleanse him and to wash him, you know, with hyssop, you know, just to make himself pure before the Lord, because that's what the Lord requires of us. He requires of us to be pure, to be holy, to be obedient, and to move as an army. As I said before, it's not a social club as the world would see it. It is, you know, because the Lord is requiring, is a different move, you know, is not anything that's weird or strange, or, you know, it's not like your church's Friday night prayer meeting. It is, it's a move, you know, it is something that is fluid. That's why it's called a move. It's not called, you know, it's not stagnant. It flows, you know, as we go about the nations, you know, we effect change in our different spheres of influence. You know, we are called to be the light. We carry the light of the Lord wherever we go. And as we know, as a move never ends. A move is something that, you know, persons are added daily. The children are carrying on the word. That's why it's called the move of willing women. It's something that's not stagnant. It continues and continues and continues and continues. And that's what the Lord is requiring of us. He's requiring of us to be, to have that military mindset, to, you know, in terms of, you know, the way how we carry ourselves, in terms of being on time, in terms of, and it's mostly about obedience. You know, as the Lord speaks, we move. We don't question the Lord. We don't say, well, Lord, you know, answer, sure, maybe I can do it tomorrow, you know, because things, the Lord sees things that we don't see, you know, and it causes us, you know, there's urgency, you know, he requires urgency from us. I mean, he speaks, we move, and, you know, and that's what he calls us to be, calls us to be, you know, regimented, and calls us to be, you know, enlisted in his army, you know. So that brings us to the end of the presentation. I'm just going to stop sharing my screen for now so that I can see if any person has posted any questions in the chat. All right. So, ladies, any questions, any queries, any comments, anything that you need clarification on? I know some persons would have joined a little late after we would have started. We still have half an hour more to go, so I'm open to any person that needs me to clarify anything. You can either take yourselves off of mute, or you can type your question in the chat feature. Just give persons a few minutes if persons come on, may have been typing. Has everything that I've shared, it, is it clear?
Yes, Nicole, I have the mandate, so I just need to take time out as well and go through again. But okay. What you shared was quite clear to me. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Simonia. All right, I see Sherry Ann. Okay, she's clear. Everybody's clear. All right. So I know we were scheduled to have another session on Thursday. I'm actually finished the chapter. It wasn't a long chapter, but I wanted to give ourselves sufficient time. We can meet on Thursday. If any person, I can go back over the presentation briefly with you guys. I'm open to that. If persons feel that they have gleaned all of the information, then that's fine. Someone had asked about the PDF file. I know it will be sent to regional, and I believe it will be disseminated out to your various regional leaders. So I would just confirm that, but I believe it would be it will be shared, you know, to everyone here. And I would just switch around the two things that I had that were incorrect. If no one has any questions or queries, I hope that, as I said before, I hope everything was clear. We talk about the flag. Well, I'm going to see if we can get the flag. I had requested a copy of it, but I didn't get it in time. But we mostly use the logo. Thank you, Sharon. Yes, he was the first. Well, yeah. Okay, yes. I can go over what the dove signifies. And yes, thank you for the correction. He was not the judge, he was the first king of Israel. Saul was the first king. But I was looking at him as a judge in terms of him ruling over Israel, but correction, he was the king and not judge. Wrong choice of words. Yes, I can go over what the dove signifies. The dove signifies the, let me go back to that slide. The dove signifies the spirit of the Lord brooding over the world. I'm just going to share my screen again. Let's just go back to that. Right. So the dove, I'm going to go back to this slide here. The dove represents the spirit of the Lord hovering over the nations. And we see in Genesis 1:1-2, when the Lord says that in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth, and the spirit of the Lord, he moved upon the waters. So the dove is represented in the logo here. We see the dove here, and then we see the black or the map of the various nations and continents. So the move is a global move. You know, the dove represents the Holy Spirit just brooding over the nations. It represents his divine presence. And it represents that, you know, the Lord is, he's just God over the whole entire world. You know, that is his domain. That is his, you know, his territory. So that's what the dove represents. That we as really women, the Lord has given us the world to pray over. He has given us the world, you know, as led by his Holy Spirit. We are the custodians or the guardians of the world. And that's our mandate, is to pray for the church, the family, and nations. So it's not specific to your nation only, but it's for the nations. Right. And the dove also symbolizes peace as well. Right. Okay, Sharyan, that's fine if you have to go. Right. Right. So the dove also represents peace. All right. So the next topic for next week will be chapter 3, and that is on the nature of mandates. Thank you, Sharyan. Right, so that's the next topic for next week. The nature of mandates mandates. So that's what you guys will be looking at next week. And that will be disseminated as well. So I know some person has said that they didn't get the scan of the chapter for this week, but just put your name in the chat. I can ensure that you guys get this one and then next week as well.
Sister Nicole, is it possible to see the last slide for a few minutes, please?
Sure. Is everyone still seeing my screen?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Right. All right. So I'm just checking the chat to see if I think somebody needed Okay, Cheryl, Jordan, you said you need to see, oh, the summary. Okay, got you. All right, so that's the summary sheet right there. Any other questions? So I'm just confirming, I have Janine Mila, who said she didn't get the recording. Sabrina Skinner. Well, no, Sabrina said she got it, but it's just Janine who didn't get it. And Elizabeth Johnson Mason, that's the only two. I'm just making a note of the names. So there's any other person who didn't get the scan of the this week's chapter?
Hi, good night, Nicole. Good night, ladies. Hi. This is Mona Aline.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't got the recording either.
The recording or the chapter?
I wasn't able to see the slides. I didn't get on my laptop. I'm using my phone, so I didn't see the slides.
Oh, okay. All right. But you still should have been able to see, even if you're on your mobile device. I'm not sure what happened there, but the information will be sent out. All right, so I have two persons, well, three persons so far who didn't get the. Yes, ladies, Annette, thank you so much, Annette. She's indicating that some persons are on their mobile devices. So we just want to ensure that we have every person just to check off the attendance. So if you are on your mobile device, could you just take yourself off of mute and just give me your name so that we can take the register, please?
Sandra Bradshaw Cox.
Okay, one person. Could you repeat it again, Sandra?
Bradshaw Cox.
Okay, we have Sandra Bradshaw Cox. Okay, next person.
Francina Bourne.
Pardon? Francina?
Francina Bourne. Arlene, Francina Bourne.
Good night.
Arlene.
Good night, Dr. Arlene.
Okay, hold for me one moment. I have Arlene, Francina Bourne. You can go ahead. I'm hearing you now.
Say Arlene. Dorothea Arlene Barbados.
Say Arlene. Dorothea.
Mona Aline.
Okay, Mona Aline. So is Faye and Dorothea, or Faye and Dorothea is the same person? Just confirming.
Dorothea Aline Bidos.
Okay, Dorothea. Okay, thank you so much. Any person else who is on their mobile device?
Jenny Miller from Bahamas.
Could you repeat that?
Jenny Miller. From Bahamas.
Okay, thank you, Jenny.
Colleen, Nicole, I'm here.
All right, is there any other person who's on their mobile device
that was not from Bahamas?
Pardon?
Kenya Saunders.
All right, two persons are talking at the same time, so.
That's how they should go.
Pardon? Okay, I was hearing Simone, but Simonia, you're on your cell phone?
Yeah, I'm on my tablet.
Oh, okay. Tablet is fine. Okay, so Moni, I have you. And then there's somebody else who is talking. Just
Jordan Jones.
Okay, Miss Jones, could you give me your first name again?
Cheryl.
Cheryl?
Yes.
Oh, Cheryl Jones?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Rhonda Wilson. Rhonda Wilson.
Rhonda Wilson.
Yeah, from Grenada.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you very much.
Teresa Chandler from St. Lucia.
Pardon?
Teresa Chandler from St. Lucia.
I didn't get his first name. I heard last name is Chandler.
Teresa, yeah, from St. Lucia.
Okay, thank you, Teresa. All right, any other person who's on their cell phones?
Kenya Saunders, Nassau, Bahamas. But if you look in participant, I am there, even though I'm on my cell phone.
Okay, you're there. Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Eva was from Trinidad.
Eva, are you on your cell phone as well?
Yes, Sister Nicole.
Hi, darling. How are you? Good to hear you.
Hi, thank you.
All right.
Taylor, give me $330. And that is if you are not working and not even asked and was.
All right, is that everyone? Yes, Janisa, is do you have a question? Denise, Selena?
Janice, Selena, I'm on my mobile device also.
Oh, okay. Well, are you actually good here, so I'm still gonna take down your name just to make sure that we don't miss anybody. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know she's on the bed.
So guys, you guys want to meet on you guys see that that you have cleaned all of the okay, what I will do, I'm going to still meet on Thursday at 6. If there's any person who would have joined a little late in the presentation today, I am going to just briefly go back over everything and we will connect on Thursday we won't take up the full 2 hours, so I will just go back through the presentation. If any other person wants to join, feel free to do so. If between now and Thursday you have any questions as you read chapter 2, if you have any questions on it, you can always join the meeting on Thursday as well, and I'll be here to answer any questions. So I'm just gonna open up the invitation for all persons. They're going to meet Thursday at 6 briefly. I will go back over the presentation for those who need me to go over or to clarify anything. Is that okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. If you guys are okay, fine, then you don't necessarily have to join on Thursday, but feel free to do so. All right, guys. Thank you so much for attending. It was great spending this time with you. Eva, I see you take yourself off of mute. You have a question or query?
No, Nicole.
Oh, okay.
I just want to say good night.
Oh, good night. Well, since you took yourself off of mute, I'm going to ask you to just pray for us. and this session.
Okay. Eternal God, we give you praise and we give you thanks for this time. Father, we thank you for everything that our sister was able to embark for each and every one of us, mighty God. Our God, we know that you are a consuming fire. And we give you thanks tonight that truly, God, we know at this time, each day we live one at a time to please you. And Father, as we embark on this training, Father, some of us, it may be new and some of us is already new, but we give you thanks. We're never too old to learn. Each day we learn one more, mighty God, and we give you praise and thanks for the education that we are gathering as wailing women, mighty God. So Father, continue to endorse Sister Nicole as she continues to share week after week with us, mighty God. We give you thanks for this time spent, and we give you thanks for what we have received. Mighty God, we honor you and we bless you. Continue to have your divine way with us. In Jesus' name we pray thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much, Eva. Next week, amen. As you may not be aware or may be aware, every week there's a different instructor. So next week we'll have a different person facilitating the session. But you will see me again later on. So if there's no other questions, thank you so much, ladies. I'm glad that you felt that it was a good session. Just want to everybody just have a great day tomorrow, and I will see you guys again on Thursday. If I don't, do enjoy the rest of your week. And we will just dust off. I'm not sure if everybody's familiar with what is dusting off or why we call it dusting off. Any person who isn't familiar with the whole dusting off? All right, Kenya?
I am not talking to you.
Okay, you're not. Okay. All right, so we have a couple persons who aren't over. It's actually in the... training, looking to back up the, because I don't want to talk about it under. But I'll find it for you guys. Okay. What we call dusting off is, as we know, we are an army, and as an army, when we go to battle, you know, when we go to battle, it's like just asking the Lord to cover us after. After we have, you know, interceded for the nation. So we're just asking the Lord to, you know, to cover us, basically. That's why it's called, you know, dusting off. Because, you know, you would have gone into a battle, so you're not coming out of the battle. So you're asking the Lord to basically watch over you and to protect you. And I would just say, and you guys can repeat after me, and you know, is so, as I said, that's the main thing. You know, we ask the Lord to cover us under his blood, and we're asking the Lord to shield us and to protect us, because we know as we intercede, you know, we are shining, we're saying to the kingdom of darkness, here we are, we're here praying. So we know that, you know, the Lord, the Satan will target us after, you know, we intercede for the church and intercede for the nations. So we're just asking Lord to shield us and to protect us after we have, you know, because sometimes, I'm not sure, but sometimes after a really meeting, we might feel, you know, a little spiritually drained after you have, you know, poured out your whole heart. It might be a one where, you know, you're just praying out before the Lord for the whole night. And, you know, you're drained physically, you're drained emotionally, you know, because you're really praying God's heart. So it's just asking Lord to cover us from the battle, cover our families, and just cover everything that concerns us. So we normally say, and you know, we dust ourselves off. So it's like, you know, it's like you're dusting off the from battle. You're just, you know, dusting off. So we dust ourselves off. You can repeat after me.
Dust ourselves off.
Yeah. From every dust and every smoke of war.
From every dust and every smoke of war.
We take the tail of the backlash.
We take the tail of the backlash.
And smash it. And smash its head.
And smash its head.
The utter destruction.
Our fingerprints,
and our voice notes from being used against us. We declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up in judgment is condemned. We declare that the kingdoms of this world. Have become the kingdoms of our Lord. And of his Christ. And we shall reign forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
That's the main gist of the prayer. And sometimes we take the blood of Jesus, you know, and we cover ourselves. You can repeat after me. We cover ourselves under the blood, and we cover ourselves and everything that concerns us. With the blood of Jesus.
With the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Right. Yes, Siobhan, I can. You can talk to me after goes off, and I just want to confirm which dusting off prayer you have. I mean, we don't have this. There is in the training manual, but you can add in, but covering stuff under the blood of Jesus. We can add in, tongue that resides in judgment. You can say, we declare Psalm 91 over ourselves. You know, there are fundamental things we stick to, but we can also add add other prayers to it as well. And, we can share the grace. And Sharon, as I said before, don't leave, because I just want to confirm which prayer you have. All right, so let's share the grace. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The love of God.
Shall reign forever and ever.
Rest away with us now and forevermore.
Amen.
Goodness.
Mercy shall follow
us all the days
of our life.
We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Amen. All right, so. Just a minute. I actually have the page bookmarked, but I'm not even finding the. There's the actual prayer in the book. All right, I'm not finding it to hand right now, but I would definitely. Ensure that the person who's teaching next week, that they have the actual excerpt from it, and it will also get it scanned, and it will get it disseminated to everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Nicole. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you for this.